Hello and welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast, a show where we bring you insights from media industry experts to help journalists do their jobs better. I'm your host, Jacob Granger. This week, we're going to talk about what caused a promising startup to close down. Presspad launched in 2018 with an innovative solution to one of the big problems that make the UK media less diverse. Students often cannot afford to do work placement in London because of high rent and the cost of living in the capital. The company found a way to offset this through host mentorships, a system where students could lodge in the spare bedroom of a nearby media professional for the duration of their placement internship. 75 interns have been assisted through Presspad services to date, who would otherwise be priced out of these work experience opportunities. However, the pandemic, personal circumstances of the founder, and the news industry not quite being ready for this unorthodox solution meant that Presspad closed down earlier this month. The founder, Olivia Krellin, talks to us today about the challenges of starting a company, the rocky road to sustainability, and the double-edged sword of being a trailblazer. Stay tuned. Olivia, welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast, of which you should be very familiar as our former maternity cover at journalism.co.uk. But it's great to have you on the other side of the mic today. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jacob. Great to be here.
Today we're going to talk a lot about Presspad, which many of our listeners will know you as the founder of that organisation, which for the last 5 or so years, I think, you've been operating as this host mentorship programme, which is this very innovative idea, basically recognising that if people want to do work experience in the capital, London, it's enormously expensive to do that. And that obviously disadvantages so many people in society who can't afford to take on those costs. So you came up with a solution in host mentorships. Why don't you tell us where that inspiration came from and how that worked?
Sure. So Presspad was an idea I had whilst as a staff journalist at BBC World Service. And I guess it was just a conflation really of my experience, those around me. And then it was a way of connecting two groups of people who were at very different stages of their careers, but in terms of their shared love for the industry, had ways that they could help one another out through a connection. And so the younger journalists coming into the industry, youth, energy, different perspectives, diversity of background on their side, but nowhere to stay and perhaps no network. And then the more experienced journalists, they had something to offer in terms of mentorship and a spare room, but also I think crucially had something to gain from that interaction with the young person, the sense of satisfaction, helping out others in the industry, which I myself have been on the receiving end of so many times in my career, but also handing out, the advice, etc. I feel like it's a core part of our industry. Presspad really was a way to formalise that and to almost make concrete that goodwill into a scheme that removed a very tangible barrier.
It seems like a really novel idea in journalism, but I do wonder, is this something that is common in other sectors and other industries? Or, what really was the catalyst for the creation of Presspad?
No, I mean, as far as I'm aware, the only other example I know of in other industries is a similar project called the Spare Room Project, set up by a man called James Fackman in the publishing arena. And I've spoken to him, about the decision to wrap up Presspad and many other times sort of along the way with the journey. And he has also passed the project on to another organisation, citing similar challenges of keeping something like this going as an individual for such a long time.
While Presspad found some success with its free pilot, it needed to start monetizing its services. Growth meant more overheads, more full-time staff, and of course, a need to scale the business model. Initially, revenue came from grants, but that came with strings attached, not to mention time and effort to apply. Because Presspad was set up to address inequality around work experience, charging interns was not an option, and its community shot down this idea pretty quickly. So instead, news organisations were asked to pick up the tab. Let's just say, not everyone bought into this idea.
What were we asking people to pay for was a form of accommodation. And when you look at, the alternatives, spending £150 of your newsroom budget to house an intern for a night in a travel lodge, we could provide a week of accommodation for that, plus a mentor who, you know, was there giving pastoral support and, you know, holistic mentorship. And that for us, you know, had a value, you know, probably far beyond what we actually ended up pricing the service. So it was difficult because I think ultimately what it came down to was perhaps a difference in what people were willing to pay, what we felt was the value of what we were offering. And ultimately, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles, in particular when you've got this sort of triangle of interests where you're solving a very real need for someone. And the interns probably would have paid what we were charging the news organisations, because that itself was a massive bargain. One night in a travel lodge, we were able to provide a week of accommodation as an equivalent with our setup because of the generosity of these volunteer host mentors. So even if, you know, we had, there was a version of PressPad where we did charge the interns, and, you know, many other people suggested this, when you're dealing with innovation, nothing's off the table. You need to properly look in a forensic and clinical and non-judgmental way at all the different options, because otherwise, you know, you're introducing blind spots, which, you know, may end up short-circuiting what eventually ends up being the solution that you go with.
What was the reception to that pitch like? How did news organizations feel about being asked to pay for this kind of a service?
Again, there's not a one size fits all answer, because some organizations whose, you know, business models are clearly working have enough money to invest in early talent. Others don't. Others still, you know, are spending money perhaps where it's not optimal. I think journalists come up against it all the time, you know, being told there's not enough money. Well, there clearly is, but just for what? What are your priorities? So, you know, it was sometimes a real minefield trying to work out in meetings with individuals and teams who said that this was a real priority for them, that they really wanted to make a difference, that they loved the idea. Do you love it enough to pay for it? The issue with something like diversity and inclusion as well, which further complicates the sell, really. Oh, 2 points, I'd say. One is again, the variety in the sector. Some people are much further ahead in you know, how well they're doing with this. Others are not, and in a way know this and want to confront it, but also struggling to admit perhaps that there is a problem, and that problem needs budget to solve it, you know. And I think our service, you know, really, again, quite complicatedly buttressed a few different departments. You know, there was a proposed return on investment, you know, within the early career recruitment HR areas. There was diversity and inclusion. And then there was also this sort of charitable, I guess, sort of notion of giving back, you know, and lots of newsrooms engage with that and give donations to charities, which is partly why we sought charitable status, because we'd received feedback that it would be much easier to give us money just as a simple donation rather than paying for what we were providing as a service. Again, the reason for me it was really important that this was a service was because I feel very strongly that the endeavour of getting different sorts of people in the newsroom, either on a class basis or from, you know, an ethnic or gender basis, that is something that will benefit our output as an industry, will benefit then ultimately the bottom line of a company, because you are appealing to a broader audience and range of people that can then buy or engage with your product. That to me is not charity. That to me is a business imperative.
Yeah. I mean, you said there that you were given certain assurances that if you gain charitable status or you create a charitable foundation, that they would be more comfortable in giving donations to PressPad. Did that materialize? Did people follow through on their word when indeed you did decide to do that?
Some did, some didn't. And I think, again, the pandemic, you know, confused this. You know, we registered the charity, you know, and immediately got this donation from the Sussexes, which is fantastic, it was the start of 2021. So still very much in the midst of the pandemic. There are pros and cons, I think. And ultimately, those individuals who stated that they would be able to support the project with this as a, you know, as a one condition that had to be met, a lot of them weren't actually even in the same post when it came to kind of returning to have that conversation once we had got charitable status. relationships are everything. Trust is everything. And when you're very, very new, you know, you're having to build that from scratch, which is a challenge. And it does have an impact on your bottom line, because, you know, ultimately those who are more established and known in the industry, or just have the connections on a one-to-one level, can demand and get donations, you know, a lot more quickly without as many hoops to jump through.
Just a quick one from me, and then we'll get back to the show. Join us on the 22nd of May at our next digital journalism conference, News Rewired, in London. We've got plenty of talks on generative AI, newsletters, young audiences, and much, much more. I'll be there, and I'd love to see you there too. Head over to newsrewired.com for the full agenda and to secure your place today. How much did that kill your momentum at PressPad, the pandemic?
I mean, hugely. Because remember, it's not just that we had a business model and an idea, you know, predicated on intergenerational hosting, you know, very much a COVID no-no, but also work experience stopped. Not only did it stop, you'll probably be able to tell me more accurately, I don't know if all of it has come back. People let go or downsized offices, you know, the expectations of for those working in newsrooms is different. And I think, you know, as we're seeing, the whole industry is shrinking with, again, work experience and diversity, I think, somewhere near the bottom of priorities when you're in that environment. So, yeah, I think it massively, massively affected us.
And that's another good example of how the pandemic kind of took the wind out of your sails as a business in the very early stages. You would hope to be sprinting as a business. And as a result, you kind of had to pivot when, of course, your host mentorship became a bit of a COVID no-no. And that took you into a different sort of territory, took you away from your core business model, didn't it?
Yeah. So PressPad Remote was our answer, really, to the pandemic. And it was fantastic. You know, we crowdfunded for it, the Nesta DCMS grant. We pivoted towards it. And, you know, I think ultimately, we had a fantastic team working on that. We helped thousands, tens and thousands of young people who took part in workshops and remote networking sessions and our CV clinics. I remember there was one week where I think I delivered 60 45-minute clinics single-handedly. You know, so we really put our heart and soul into it. But I think, you know, timing is everything. And, you know, we were keen to get back to what we felt was our USP and what made us unique. And I think, you know, by the end of the pandemic, all of us were a bit sort of fed up with, you know, Zoom this is and that's. And I do very much believe that, you know, getting together in person is important. But for us, the sort of DNA of PressPad was this very practical, tangible help, where we were physically getting people through the door because we were providing the accommodation.
And you lost a moment then to iterate on the business and keep building, keep improving, keep changing, learning, all of those. There was some lost potential there.
100%. There was loss of momentum with the idea, with the excitement, with relationships, you know, the number of, and I apologize to all of these people if any of them are listening, you know, impressive people who could have helped PressPad, who, you know, at the end of our 2019 crowdfunder, just before the pandemic hit, said, you know, get in touch, I'd love to help. And, you know, by the time we'd launched, which was only a couple of months later, and I, you know, would have been returning their calls, we were then in a pandemic, and it just wasn't, you know, what were we going to ask for? You know, what could people have given? It wasn't appropriate. So, you know, yeah, timing was terrible. And that definitely played a factor.
And lost revenue potentially, probably as well, in that none of your core business was happening at this time.
Yeah, definitely. And all of those, you know, remote programs we were offering again for free because, you know, we felt that that's how it should be done. But, you know, now you'll see many similar businesses who offer these events, you know, book clubs, you know, networking clubs, etc. You know, they all come with a membership fee, you know, so there is a cost even to what can appear quite a light touch or is quite a well-trodden business path, you know, events and community management, really.
Yeah, I remember a conversation between us once upon a time where you were thinking about a subscription for PressPad at one moment or another. What happened to that idea, Olivia?
Yeah, you're right. We did look at a subscription model, and in the very last few months, even of the business, you know, before I kind of decided to wrap it up and, you know, put it on pause and whatnot, we were thinking about a subscription model, you know, a very light touch version, you know, something similar to, I don't know if you've heard of the 93% Club, which is a fantastic organization that is bringing together young people from a state school background and connecting them to recruiters in different industries and connecting them to one another to try and replicate the sort of old boys club of private schools. They charge a membership fee, I think annually or maybe monthly, I can't remember exactly what it is. And those are sorts of people who are in the same socioeconomic demographic that we would be hoping to reach. So I think, you know, people are willing to you know, pay for something that they value. Not everything, you know, has to come for free. And there are all sorts of other forms of sort of scholarship or bursaries, you know, that organizations I think are now more aware of and are offering to people who really, you know, can't pay anything and make that known. So yeah, that was an option to combine essentially what we were providing with PressPad Remote and then the host mentorship service and have a small subscription fee for the intern who would then get all of these resources, training, you know, events, and access to then host mentors, but ultimately with their hosting being paid for by their organization.
So what went wrong? PressPad found revenue in all sorts of places. A £45,000 crowdfunding campaign in 2019, a £40,000 grant from the DCMS's Public Interest News Fund in 2020, and even a £10,000 donation from the Archwell Foundation, a non-profit set up by Meghan Markle and Prince Harry in 2021. But none of this was enough for an ambitious organisation. The pandemic, while it did show that not everything needs to be done in person, it did do a lot of damage to PressPad specifically. It not only affected business directly, but it took them away from their USP, it changed the priorities among news organisations, and moved on the key stakeholders they were in conversation with. So PressPad looked to a subscription model to bring in some recurring revenue, but that never saw the light of day due to the sheer burden on Olivia's shoulders. The decision to close down PressPad this month ultimately came down to a deeply personal situation.
Sure. So, I mean, ultimately the decision to close PressPad was a personal one. My mum was diagnosed with stage 4 mouth cancer at the beginning of 2022. And just as of last week, we finally found out that her, I guess, prognosis has sort of moved to terminal stage, so we're in end of life territory, and I think, you know, we've all seen this coming, but that's a huge element of my decision really to step away from something that, you know, gave me huge amounts of energy and purpose and enjoyment, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, didn't leave me much time, and due to just how challenging it is for, you know, a small business startup charity in the current climate, I was throwing everything at it. And I think it just got to the point where it wasn't bringing me the same joy that it had done. And the balance really, I think, had tipped in a direction, you know, that made it more difficult than joyous to keep it going. So, you know, that was one very personal element. The second one, really, it's difficult because I think with startups, it's quite hard to disentangle the organization from the founder, and, you know, you get founder syndrome and all sorts of things. And I think, you know, if I had my time again, I would have, not that I didn't do this, to be fair to me, quite early on, but I would have been more persistent in reaching out to some of the bigger, more incumbent established organizations, some of the names I've listed already, to try and integrate this project within, you know, a more mature organizational structure. So I think, you know, yes, burnout, yes, you know, the intensely personal and sort of specific details with my Mum's health. I myself have suffered a couple of bouts of depression in my time. Incidentally, all of which since I started PressPad, and I think talking about burnout is super important. And we sort of skirt around it, I think. So that's something that I've encountered in the last few weeks, which has also, I think brought just the huge challenge. That I willed myself through for years and years and years, just brought it into sharp focus, just how much of my energy this was taking up. And I also think, I'm 34 now and possibly moving out of the journalism industry, as many people do, I think in particular women at this stage, and looking at other options, because I also have a life and I'm a person, above a worker or a journalist or a founder or anything else. And, I want to start a family. And I think being this busy and being this stressed and, being this much in a kind of scarcity mentality and sort of deficit mode is not conducive, to happiness, and definitely is not compatible with family life as a woman, I think, in the long run. There may be many people that are able to confront that and or that perhaps don't have the same desires, in life. The options open to them are different. But for me, those, I guess, were three things that all personal but all relevant.
Yeah. How much of it is also the fact that nobody else is really doing this, and there's in a sense of isolation that you're kind of peerless and rivalless in this kind of space? And so there's kind of no one else for you to get, besides the person you referenced earlier in the interview, who's working in a sort of slightly different industry. I would imagine that that comes with some sense of isolation and some sense of, like, as you said, also today, the sort of hitting your head against a wall with certain conversations.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think, the best and the worst thing about PressPad, among many best and worst, it was, I think, so innovative that before we could even really get to the stage where, we were explaining the value add to organizations, we had to kind of explain the concept, explain, yeah,
Itself.
and people got it, I think, on a fundamental level. It was, the idea made so much sense. People maybe couldn't exactly understand why it did, but it did. But also, I think, if you're going to be really challenging, you've got to go for the political jugular and say, is there really a desire to change the sort of people that make our news? And I think that is a question that I probably never really got a straightforward answer to. And our solution was trying to get at that. And that, I think, was both challenging in terms of delivering that impact, but also I think challenging for individuals to hear that. It's difficult to sell something to someone that makes them maybe question or feel uneasy about the system they're already operating in.
Do you think you realized on the other side of launching PressPad that the problem was much bigger than you anticipated, that you maybe bit off a bit more than you can chew and realized you were providing essentially an uncomfortable solution to people's problem?
100%. Having ambition and, responding to an unmet need, are two vital ingredients in social enterprise. It's a perennial conversation among change makers and those in the impact sector of, is it better to try and affect change from within or from without? And there are pros and cons to both models and both perspectives, really. Many, many more people who have been fighting for longer, than I have, for equity and justice, etc., will tell you, just how slow change is. I kind of burst onto the scene in a very limited way for a very limited amount of time and, came up against that. So I think, change is, infamously slow to come about. The struggle with an industry like, journalism is that by the very nature of what we do as journalists, there is always going to be something more urgent.
So I think the place to leave it for today is what's really next for PressPad, and it is now essentially up on the market, and you're looking to move it on to another organization which can take it forward into its next lease of life. But I find the concept of PressPad being a double-edged sword as a trailblazer quite interesting, because the problem you now have is whoever takes it on, it might not fit perfectly with what they're doing right now. There's not going to be perfect alignment. So that's something you're now having to grapple with, or other people will be grappling with when it comes to taking PressPad forward.
Yeah, exactly. So PressPad, it addresses a very niche problem, which I think is present in a lot of different industries. And it's its own particular brand of unique solution to that problem. I think, you know, I'm in talks with various organizations, and I welcome contact for, you know, from any others who think that this might be something in their wheelhouse that they would like to look at. What we've got to date is really quite substantial. You know, we have a proven business model, a proven operations model, a tech infrastructure, several hosts who, you know, would be happy to jump back and get involved, quite a lot of brand awareness in terms of the concept now, you know, that element that I said to you, you know, was sort of part of the legwork before we could even get into the conversation around, you know, whether companies wanted to use PressPad, you know, what was this thing. So, you know, a lot of that has been done. Young people will always want to be doing work experience, or new starters in roles will always be wanting to get into the office, I think, and have face time, because it's crucial, you know, when you're learning the ropes and you're networking and you're meeting people. What we were as an organization was a sort of tech for social good company, really. So there's elements of the delivery which perhaps are more technologically savvy or reliant than perhaps some of the DNA of organizations, you know, that have been around a bit longer. So that's something that's got to be an appetite for, is delivering, I guess, change in this way. We've had conversations with other people in parallel, you know, or adjacent industries. So, you know, maybe that journalism doesn't have the bandwidth for this or the appetite at the moment, but, you know, there are dozens and dozens of, you know, I was talking about the creative industries, places where people have to be present in person, you know, acting, musicians, you know, even civil service, places where people are moved around on rotation. One of the difficulties we had quite early on was proving that within our particular industry that accommodation was the sticking point and was a solution. And it's one of those things that, you know, I had a conversation with an organization the other day, and they said, oh, you know, we've never had anyone tell us that finding accommodation during an internship is a problem. And I had that same phrase from many people within the media when we first started PressPad. And I said, well, you know, you don't tend to kind of mention in your 2 week long, essentially job interview, when you're trying to impress all your colleagues, that, you know, you're sleeping on a blow up bed on the mattress of a friend of your aunt, as, you know, great uncle Steve.
It's the not so gracious part of a work experience, isn't it?
Right. So, you know, it's not something that you necessarily want to discuss, but I would really encourage organizations, even if PressPad isn't, you know, the solution, to be inquisitive and to push and to be probing, really, you know, when it comes to finding out what your service users, or, you know, your beneficiaries, your communities need. Because a lot of the time, this is why, you know, these problems seem so innovative when somebody comes up with something like PressPad, but which are so obvious because we've all gone through it, and yet nobody has really spoken about it.
Well, I concur. I think you've got an enormous amount to be proud of at PressPad, and I wish you the best in whatever's next for you, Olivia. So thank you ever so much for coming on our show, talking to us, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Jacob.
My takeaway for today is that the journalism industry needs innovation, but innovative ideas cannot run on goodwill alone, and that was potentially the undoing of PressPad. Olivia now moves PressPad on, potentially to another sector and industry altogether, but the lessons of its existence stay with us. PressPad brought a renewed conversation about the need for newsrooms to diversify themselves, and it even introduced a concrete solution to a tangible barrier. But who is going to pick up the bill for it? The constant state of fundraising, the crippling effect of the pandemic, and a deeply personal situation all proved too much of a burden for it to last any longer. But what did you make of today? I'd love to know what you took from today's conversation. Find me on LinkedIn, Twitter /X at JPGJournalism, or email me on jacob@journalism.co.uk. You can check out all of our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search and subscribe to the journalism.co.uk podcast. But that's all we have time for this week. I've been your host, Jacob Granger. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.